ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Joe George. He made it all the way to Friday. What a guy. What a dude. Joe George.
Big test day today, though.
Making it all the way to Friday. What part of it? Who said it?
Yeah, who said it's going to be interesting?
He has two games planned for us today to challenge us. One of them, who said it, of course, America's favorite game. And then he's going to play an old Houston Texans press conference whenever they're announcing new head coaches to see if we can guess who they were talking about. Which was quite the scene yesterday. Houston Texans, it felt like they were welcoming a soldier back home from war. Rolling out the red carpet, having the whole, you know, pomp and circumstance, which is fine. They should do that. I think that they should. That's what an organization should do. Like, I think it's turning the corner. You go out, you find a really good head coach candidate, you're really excited about it, you throw basically a pep rally. They didn't have that for David Culley or Lovie Smith, though, which was quite interesting.
No, and I think that that's part of what we talked about in terms of that extra polish that came with this one, the extra shine that everybody was zeroed in on, is you got one of your own. Even though he's not from here, he's from Alabama, you got one of your own because he was drafted here and he played here and it was a known name here, so there was more excitement. The Lovie Smith, you know, sure, people kind of knew he coached the Bears and went to a Super Bowl, and you know, that was one thing. The Culley thing was so underwhelming, it was ridiculous. So this was one where everybody could get on board with, and I think that's why the Texans went that extra level. I mean, did you see the tripods with the placards and
I see it every day.
I'm talking about the what do you call that with all the different signs
posters?
They had. It was like matted posters, but it was every single like major milestone of DeMeco with the text drafted here, did this here, coordinator for the Niners here, blah blah. Every five steps, I'm like, man, and then it was welcome home, Meeko. When he walked in the doors of the front doors of the actual facility, he was like, my goodness.
They're acting like a real organization. That's something that should be done for every head coach. But, like, it should have also been done for David Culley. It should have also been done for Lovie Smith. Just because, like, the fan base didn't take him seriously, they were your hires. Like, DeMeco Ryans equal with David Culley and Lovie Smith because they were all guys that you hired.
There's an argument it should have been done more because in a lot of ways they needed you to believe they were on board with him even more so than a guy coming from the Niners as a coordinator.
Almost had to oversell it. But those are the days of the past. The Texans are turning over a new leaf. It's the rebirth of the organization. They're acting like a real boy now. They had a real coaching search. They were decisive. They hired a really good candidate, second on my list. I think he was probably third or fourth on your list. Everybody's taking the Texans seriously now. They have a real pep rally. People are talking about how they won the press conference. They're already planning the parade, which is a little bit of a joke. But look, lots of positives from DeMeco Ryans yesterday. A quality coach, quality man. The 45-minute press conference went well, if press conferences are your things. But what stood out to you from that DeMeco presser yesterday, Blinkers?
Well, kind of just the energy. I think that the one thing that I took from the most from everything that you heard and saw and just his comments were, this is a dude that's easy to get on board with and be behind and root for and feel good about. This is a guy that seems to be in complete control of every situation. He seems to be level-headed, but he's energetic. He makes no excuses for that. But just kind of the stories he was getting into from his playing days and otherwise, the way you could tell, like, he's a heavy, calculated guy when it comes to football. And he understands what every position on the field does, and he understands, you know, the best way to do things. And I think that even a guy like Cal, who put down his coloring book long enough to reference the fact that he had taken guys that he supposedly was involved in drafting and turned a Fred Warner into an all-pro from a third-round pick, turned the safety, the kid this year, into a stud player for the Niners. Like, he develops talent. And I think that's what's so important because we know how much talent has to be developed here in Houston. I came away with that as excited, I think, maybe as I've ever been in terms of any kind of press conference or move the Texans had made that was that was something of that magnitude other than a draft pick.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of the hyperbolic, A-plus press conference. Texans won the press conference, which, what does that really mean? They were saying that about Lovie Smith last year. How I felt about D'Amico Ryans is how I felt after that press conference. Quality man, quality coach, all of those things. I think some people got a little hyperbolic with some things that he said. Like, they asked him about his offense. He's like, yeah, we want to win at the line of scrimmage. We want to win in the trenches. We want to be able to run the ball, and then we want to be able to go play action out of that. And then if the deep ball is not there, we want to dump it off to an explosive player. And people were acting like that was this, like, innovative, revolutionary style of, you know, football. Well, every team should be doing that. Like, it's not – D'Amico Ryans didn't reinvent the wheel. I'm not trying to, like, knock D'Amico. I was slightly annoyed with some of the reaction to D'Amico. Like, D'Amico Ryans was this mastermind because he said they wanted to dump it off to an explosive player. Yeah.
But you also hear what you want to hear, because he started the statement by saying, of course we want to run the football.
Right.
No, everybody didn't want to hear that. They wanted to hear the after you want to run the football, you still want to have balance. You still want to do the things that you're talking about.
One thing, too, that I found a little bit funny, and this had nothing to do with D'Amico. It had to do everything with the reaction of D'Amico. Like, you tend to have bias. Biases exist in life. It's just a reality of everything. But D'Amico Ryans was talking a lot about, like, faith, family, and football, which, look, I'm all in favor of. I was defending Nick Caserio when he was talking about that on Thanksgiving, and people were calling him a sleazeball because he said that there's more important things than football. But Nick Caserio, because you didn't like Nick, not you specifically, because people didn't like Nick Caserio around Thanksgiving, and whenever he told some people that there are more important things than football, everybody crushed the dude. Everybody hated the dude. The people, they were calling him like a sleazeball. Like, they were saying that about Caserio. And then D'Amico says, you know, faith, family, football over and over again. Quality man. We love that dude. And it shows you the biases that you have, right? That if you like a guy, they can say whatever. If you don't like a guy, then you don't like what they say, even though it's the same thing that they're saying. So I was a little bit, I don't know if annoyed's the right word, but that, like, hyperbole coming out of it, and then the contradictions from certain people where they're like, oh yeah, D'Amico can say all of this stuff, but when Caserio says the exact same stuff, I hate that
guy. Let me give you what it's likened to. This is, if Skip Bayless says it, everything out of his mouth is targeted with hatred and vitriol.
Yeah.
If someone that you like that does talk radio says it, or someone else says it, oh, that's awesome. That's great. He's absolutely right. I'm on board with that. Let's chat about that. But it depends on the source and the history with the source to determine what you want to take and what you want to believe. It's like, if Tommy Boy speaks, he could give you like a stock tip and he could give you some of the most earth-shattering data on the planet, and everybody would laugh it off and go, yeah, okay, go back to your video games. But if, you know, someone else that you truly trust gave you that information, you were just like, man, that's awesome. That's something that I got to really keep an eye on, because it's a trusted source and you haven't had any reason to sway off that belief. We've had plenty of reasons to sway off of our beliefs in a lot of ways with a lot of different people. So
here's the three biggest things that stood out to me. I'm curious, too, what you think, Hive. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. Look, very positive impressions. What stood out to you? 713-780-3776. The first one to me is he is as advertised. Like, I just mentioned it a moment ago, who I thought he was coming into the press conference, I left 45 minutes later after watching the press conference thinking that he was that guy. He is as advertised. A quality man, which we've known, you know, since his playing days in Houston and listening to other people talk about D'Amico Ryans. So all of that just validated what I already felt and thought about D'Amico Ryans. And then the quality coach things, because there were some certain, you know, we'll learn more about the X's and O's. We'll learn more about the coaching staff once he plays, or coaches rather, in a football game. We'll start to, quite honestly, nitpick some certain things. But we'll learn more about his philosophies as a head coach. But he is as advertised. Quality man, quality coach, love what the Houston Texans are getting, and I think that they did hit a home run with this coaching search. The second thing, this is a part that I love. He strikes me as a no-nonsense guy. Like, he's not going to take crap, but he's also going to love you, right? Like, he's not going to allow you to be late for meetings, late for practices, but then he's also going to show you how much he cares about you. Talked about how he not only wants to develop good football players, but develop men, right? To be good husbands, to be good fathers. And he's also honest, which he's going to say more than most coaches do. And I don't know if that's going to translate into wins. In fact, I would say it's a wash that it doesn't translate into wins. And this is something that Kyle Shanahan does. Kyle Shanahan's very honest with the media. Look what he said the other day about Jimmy Garoppolo, where most people be like, well, you know, let's see what happens in the offseason. Let's see our evaluation on the quarterback market. He flat out told you Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be a San Francisco 49er. And I saw some elements of that with D'Amico Ryans in that press conference yesterday, where he was almost, I'm not going to say honest to a fault, because I don't think anything that he did was a negative or a fault, but he's going to be far more transparent than Lovie Smith, who would get annoyed if you were trying to dig for a little bit of information. David Culley was not intellectually capable of having more than a surface-level conversation. D'Amico Ryans is going to be pretty transparent with the media, I feel.
So I think he's going to try, but I also think that's also part of what, and don't kid yourself, again, this is going to translate even to the head coach, no matter how much it took to get him in the negotiation process. Whoever is giving them their guidance and advice on pressing the restart for the entire organization, transparency is the key word. And we heard Cal use it, and we heard them try and kind of go back and clear the air a little bit to tell you how they're going to be going forward. And I think much like Culley couldn't stay on script, I think D'Amico's smart enough that he can, and he's not going to have a problem with that. But I also noticed where he wasn't going to get into that no matter what, because we talked about the questions and what questions we think they should have asked and what they were going to ask. He did avoid getting into anything about the other teams. He started to answer like he was going to answer the question when they started asking him questions about, because I went back and listened to it a few times. He was very, very polite about it, but he didn't really tell you he wasn't going to answer it. But he spun it right away to just talk about why he took the Texans and you know, happy to be here and all the reasons that, you know, Mr. McNair and Nick did.
Well,
what
he spun
they
it
did
to the Texans. He spun it to the Texans.
That's what I'm saying.
He didn't,
but
he
wouldn't address
the other
Denver and
I think
Arizona.
That was smart,
and, yeah, I mean, it's just going to cause more of a firestorm than any good. But, I mean, everybody wanted to know.
I meant from, like, his philosophy,
oh, yeah,
his organization, his program. I think he's going to be very transparent. He seems like somebody who's going to say more than most coaches would. Like, it's almost, I'm not going to say honest to a fault, but he's going to give you stuff where a lot of coaches just flat out wouldn't.
But let's be honest, though, Jeremy. On that note, that was just the opening press conference.
But he's coming from Kyle Shanahan, who is that way.
He's pretty good about it, but I do think that once we start talking about meaningful games or games in the regular season.
Well, I don't think he's giving away his game plan,
no,
but I think he's going to be very honest about certain things and more than most coaches would.
But I'm saying if there's like an injury problem, you know, someone's hurt or you want an update or you want something and the media is like really cranking to get an answer, I'm sure there's going to be times where he's going to be close to the vest and just say,
sure, with certain things. But that's why I said more than most coaches would. Most coaches aren't going to answer anything with injuries, but more than most. It's going to be more than Lovie Smith. It's going to be more than David Culley. It's going to be more than Bill O'Brien. I think he's going to be far closer to Kyle Shanahan than he is any of those other three coaches. And he kind of did it when he was talking about his offensive philosophy. He was talking about the quarterback position. He did it a little bit when he was talking about his own personnel. So I think he is going to be a little bit more informational with the media more than most coaches.
He's so hands-on where it's really going to come forth is if there's a tough roster decision to make or something like that, they're not going to candy coat it. If a guy's suspended, he's suspended. You think about some of the things this franchise has been through in the last couple of years. If there's an issue with a guy in the locker room, I'm sure he's going to try and grab the bull by the horns and address it head on. And if it doesn't work out, I'm sure he'll be the kind of guy that says, hey, look, we did everything we could to work it out because we wanted him to be here. At a certain point, we understand it's time to. And I don't think your last two coaches would have done that.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776, and a Frankie's Friday Fire dinner. On the Killer Bees to Frankie's Italian Kitchen. If you bring the heat, whether it's the call, whether it's the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, whether it's the tweet, he's at Pac-Man Joel, I'm at Jeremy Branham. I'll get to the last thing that stood out to me, and we want to know what stood out to you. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Why'd you get mad at Joe for playing the song?
No one got mad at anybody.
You gave a dirty look.
I did not give him a dirty look.
You did. I saw it.
I rolled my eyes with a smirk on my face.
There wasn't a smirk. It's more like a scowl.
Okay, Dr. Phil.
It was. It's twitch.tv/ESPN975. Smirk or scowl? 713-780-ESPN. I'm in a great mood. Houston won basketball last night. Always happy about that. And D'Amico Ryans, new head coach of the Houston Texans, 713-780-ESPN. What stood out to you during this press conference? Big C said it was a joke, but then he didn't say why it was a joke. You can't just drop a bomb like that and then not give the reason why you thought it was a joke. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. D-Rock, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. What's up, D-Rock?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. I think D'Amico sounded, like you guys have said, sounded far more insightful with his takes on how he's going to handle the team, the coaching, and everything associated with it of being a head coach. Nick sounded much more collaborative than he has sounded in his previous press conferences introducing Cully and Lovey. And I think one of the most big things for Nick really is the pressure. Look, there is always pressure on a GM, but he has a coach around which he can now draft players, find players for free agency and all of the above, right? This is something that was not. Even with Cully and with Lovey, we knew, okay, these guys are placeholder coaches, so he will have to find somebody that's just going to be beyond these systems, drafting players. Now he has a coach he can draft players for. That was kind of at least my big take from the free agency now, because this guy brings far more credibility being a young, up-and-coming coach. Hopefully that will also attract good football talent coming in the free agency as well.
Appreciate the call, D-Rock. One of the things that, I think a big tell that Caserio and Lovie Smith weren't aligned was the Derek Stingley thing. And I don't want to beat the dead horse, but Derek Stingley, great man-to-man corner. Lovie Smith, cover two. Lovie Smith says the corners are the fifth most important defensive position. Nick Caserio drafts one with the number three pick of the NFL draft. There was not alignment between Caserio and Lovie, which makes you think that Lovie wasn't going to be a long-term coach. You could also make the argument that Caserio should have been drafting with Lovie Smith in mind if they hired Lovie Smith. So, it can be a criticism for Caserio. That was my third one, actually, D-Rock. The third biggest takeaway that I had from that press conference yesterday is that I feel like D'Amico and Caserio are aligned. They talked about how they share a bunch of different philosophies. Now, I would say that Nick needs to give in to the rest of the philosophies that they do not agree on, if there's any that exist, and basically say, D'Amico, you're the boss here when it comes to football philosophy, and I'm going to find players that fit your scheme, and we're going to figure out a way to give you players that you want, whether it's specific skills on the offensive side, specific skills on the defensive side. But my biggest takeaway, if I'm looking at it from a pure football point of view yesterday, all the players being there, great. That's great for nostalgia. It's great for selling tickets. It's great for good feelings. All of the new players or the current players that were there, great. That's awesome. But that doesn't translate to winning football games. The biggest football takeaway that I took yesterday was that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans seem like they're aligned and are on the same page.
Well, and we'll see, because I think that everybody thought that Lovey and Caserio were on the same page when they got the big emotional high five when they drafted Christian Harris, and everybody was like, oh, they got their guy. But then to your point, we kept talking about it leading into the draft that Lovey is essentially telling you that they shouldn't be taking corner that high if that's the way he rates the corner in his defensive schemes. So you just don't know until you know by seeing how they get through the draft and also how they attack free agency, because I think that's going to be a big telltale sign too. But I think that what I kept taking away too is that Nick seems to continue on this path of someone that basically called him in the principal's office and gave him a scolding and kind of a refresher course on how he's going to have to act if he wants to keep his job. I just think that he was so, and I don't want to say arrogant, but he acted like the smartest guy in the room. He treated everybody like he was the smartest guy in the room. He believed that everything he said people would believe, or just, he could talk his way around in circles and thought that he could fool everybody into saying he said enough. And then all of a sudden he came out and was a humbler, kinder, more open and transparent kind of guy when they fired Lovey. And now even yesterday, I kept saying, look, they're saying all the right things. And it seems like they're on the same page and they're aligned. And they have to be. But I think now, rather than the way it was for the first two hires, I think now he's not in the driver's seat anymore. With the other two guys, Nick was going to stay and they could go. With this one, D'Amico's going to stay no matter if Nick stays or goes. So it's in his best interest to make sure that they are on the same page and that they're communicating, because of the two of them, he's the next guy out the door.
I understand what you're saying, but I saw a much more relaxed and at ease Nick Caserio yesterday than whenever they fired Lovey. He was cutting jokes, he was smiling, he was happy. That to me, it was actually more of the older Caserio than it was the Nick Caserio we saw at the Lovey Smith press conference.
Yeah, I just don't think in the past Nick would have given you the anecdote about how they, which I loved, about how D'Amico wrapped up the first interview. And I think that to your point, I don't think he would have given you some of the off the cuff comedy or how do I follow that up? I mean, can we just end it right there? And kind of being more of a personality that people can actually kind of lean towards being supportive of. In the past, like I said, he just seemed like he wanted to be the smartest guy in the room that knew everything. So regardless of how it's happening or why it's happening, it has to be happening because it's in the best interest of the organization. Because he's got this contract, but we said, look, if we're in the same place that we were right now that before they hired DeMeco a year from now, then they have every right to fire him, no matter how many years he has left on his contract. So he knows that he's got work to do, and they clearly stated that, and he was very quick again to bring that up later in the press conference about, look, we still, you know, we've got to show improvement. We got to do these things. We know how we've got to do our – or words mean nothing. So I think that someone talked to him somewhere along the line, or a couple people did, and he basically is smart enough to know, hey, I'm not on Easy Street anymore. My seat's getting kind of warm, and I got to do some things a different way.
Yeah, and he admits that. You know, Caserio goes on PP a lot on Highway to Hell, and that's usually when you see like more of his personality, cutting jokes. Like I feel like he's done that since day one. Maybe not like the press conference setting as much whenever it's the Q&A and he's being grilled because he's not winning a lot of football games. Big C has replied, because Big C said he thought that yesterday's press conference was a joke, and we asked him why. Like, if you're going to drop a bomb like that, give us some information as to why. And he says he thinks it was way too much. I understand getting a head coach who's a former player, but come on, they acted like they just won the Super Bowl. I understand that, and quite honestly, I'm trying to kind of find that balance, because I don't blame the Texans at all for what they did. Like, the Texans need to do that. They need to roll out the red carpet. They need to welcome in their new head coach. Now, they should have also done it for Culley and Lovey, but maybe this is the Texans again showing they're turning the corner, so that's fine.
It's that they learned something. Yeah. They've done it so wrong for so long.
Tip your cap.
Because I would take, real quick, because I know you got a thought to finish, but just remember the Dwight Howard press conference. All the old legendary Rocket Centers were there.
Right.
It was a public deal. It was the biggest deal, where they did the same welcoming committee and everybody rolled out a red carpet and walked them in the building. It's the same thing the Rockets have been doing for years and years.
Yeah, and you should do that as an organization. So I have no problem with the Houston Texans did. I think they learned their lesson, to your point. I think it's a good call, and the Dwight Howard's a really good comparison. The thing where I think probably went a little bit too far was the reaction to that, where it's like, oh, it's an A-plus press conference. Dude, you were doing that last year, and they fired Lovie Smith in a year. Like, the press conference means absolutely nothing. Like, does it galvanize the fan base? Does it get you excited? Yes, and I'm here for that. Like, I'm excited, too, for DeMeco Ryans. But the whole A-plus, he won the press conference, Texans are on their way. We thought that 365 days ago, and then they fired the coach in less than a year.
From a football perspective, Jeremy, you just won your first preseason game. Because that's what that press conference was. That's the beginning of the start of a long haul of a career and a season. So see me when you get a grade that matters, right? When you win game one, or you win a key game in the middle of the season against a division opponent or a heavily favored playoff type team.
Right.
Now see me and I'll give you a grade. Right now, grades in the preseason mean nothing because they don't count. All they do is they count in the court of public opinion. But other than that, they don't count in terms of how it relates to football and wins and losses and running the organization the right way. So that was a grade solely set on the business side and Cal and from an organization. Yep. But that has nothing to do with the football side, other than to say that the general manager and the coach seem to get along.
Great day. It's a great day. Mm-hmm. Everybody's excited for DeMeco Ryans. But I'd rather have a dude who fails the press conference and goes to three straight Super Bowls than a dude who wins the press conference with an A-plus grade and then wins four games, three games, five games, and you're looking for a new head coach in 3 years.
You won the DeMeco day, the day that you accurately pointed as DeMeco day, because that was the day you got the right guy. You made the decision and you were able to get the guy you wanted. That's the grade that matters. The grade on the press conference after you got your guy means absolutely zero in the big picture.
And again, very excited for DeMeco. Yes. I think the Texans did everything that they should have done, even if people think that it was like welcoming in a soldier home. Like, they should be doing that as a real organization in the NFL. But I heard some people talking about how DeMeco, whenever he talked about his offense, they want to win at the line, they want to run the football, they want to be able to beat you in play action, and whenever it's not there, they want to dump it off to an explosive player. People were acting like that was some revolutionary thought. Like, DeMeco's reinventing the wheel. And look, DeMeco might be a mastermind, But it wasn't because of that quote, and some people were acting like it was. Like, settle down a moment. This is step one in a series of a lot of steps for the Texans to become relevant again.
Again, like the preseason. You're not going to tell anybody what you're running in the system you're running when you don't have an OC and you don't know what talent's going to be running the plays
yet. I think you might have tipped his hand a little bit.
Well, maybe, but I'm just saying. But you understand what I'm saying. There's no, like, conversations with my OC. There's no structurally this is what we're going to run and definitively this is how we're going to run it and this is who's going to run it yet. So you can throw crap in the wind all you want, but if that's a win for you, okay, then you're even more excited and the organization's happy about that. But that doesn't mean a hill of beans until you get down to brass tacks with training camp and real football.
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We talked a lot about the, if you're D'Amico, where would you go? You were on the Houston side. I was on the Denver side. D'Amico answers why Houston was at the top of that list. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
We'll get into why Houston was D'Amico's first choice in a moment. 1254, this feels like a Cliff Kingsbury hire back in 13 for Texas Tech. This is to unite the fan base and try to catch lightning in a bottle with a coordinator who's successful for a couple of years. I don't ever want to limit myself to coaches who are like part of the family. I think whenever you do that, you're shrinking the pool, right? And it's more difficult to find a really good leader, coach, whatever, whenever you shrink the pool. I think that, like, you know, alums, things like that, I think that stuff can be overrated. The problem where, like, I mean, Cliff's a good example. Patrick Ewing at Georgetown, look how that's going. Look how Chris Mullins at St. John's went. You know, I used the Clyde Drexler at Houston reference. There's probably other ones that exist that I'm just not thinking of. Now, Harbaugh at Michigan is an exception. Has really, really good success. He's a Michigan man. And I'm sure there's
other
some
failed,
examples.
But Michigan failed a million times before that.
With Michigan men, yeah, like Brady Hoke.
They kept trying and trying for the Michigan thing. It's just disaster.
I'm not a huge fan of limiting your pool. I'm quite frankly, I'm not. Why it doesn't really bother me here with Houston. Like, I've seen some names for, like, the coaching staff. Oh, bring back Andre. Bring back Brian Cushing. Bring back Matt. No. No. Like, that's cool. That's fun. But go hire the best coordinator, quarterback coach, wide receiver coach that you can find. Doesn't need to be a former Houston Texan. But why I'm okay with it with D'Amico Ryans is because he was one of the top coordinators out on the market. Like, he happens to be a Texan, but before that, he was one of the top candidates on the market. So that's where, like, I have, I'm fine with it. Like, where normally I wouldn't be, bring back an alum because he's a former whatever. D'Amico is one of the top targets, so it's just, like, a happy coincidence. He was also a former Texan.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, again, as good of a feel-good story as it can be, this is it. And you know what? There's not a single professional sports team out there that needed it more. And I love the hire. I love the fire that he brings. I love the stability that he brings, honestly, because the other two guys you just looked at and you were like, from both perspectives in different ways, they were very unstable. And they continue. And that was, and again, when you say takeaways from a press conference, that's the first thing I took away from the Cully press conference. That's the first thing when I looked at Lovey, I took away from Lovey's going, does he have anything left in the tank?
Well, Lovey won the press conference a year ago.
No, not with me.
Everybody thought he did.
Right, but again, I'm not looking for pom-poms and confetti. I'm looking for, are you going to be able to do this impossible job to the best of your abilities and get results?
Right.
And so, from a takeaway perspective, I found a guy that seems to be in complete control, that looks to me to give me hope. That, look, I'm not expecting a miracle to happen overnight, but I do believe this is the right guy to take you where you need to go. I was thinking about it this morning, driving in the car, and if you just inserted D'Amico Ryans in every mentioned conversation and interview when we were talking about McCown, I think people might have been a little bit more realistically open-minded to the entire scenario, because even if he didn't have all that much coaching experience,
like first year,
right, this was a guy that his entire life has been led under the understanding he's a leader, he's a captain, he is a man's man that can make decisions and handle things professionally. That's what we didn't see for the last 2 years. That's a big thing for Texans fans to feel comfortable about going forward, that you've got a guy that will.
Yeah, I have that same belief. I do believe it's a stable force where you didn't get that feeling. Even though Lovie won the press conference, according to a lot of people last year, we were saying the next day, we don't know about this.
And maybe this is, you know, pushing it a little bit with connecting the dots, but so far the Texans pipeline of like that era of DeMeco Ryans has been pretty successful. Matt LaFleur is a good coach. He was here when DeMeco was here as an assistant. Mike McDaniels. Kyle Shanahan, like, it's just Robert Saleh. All those guys were in the building at the same time, learning under Kubiak and that era when DeMeco was here as a player. And look, they're some of the best young coaches in the NFL. So it kind of feels like that DeMeco can follow that trend of all those guys that were in the Texans building at the same exact time.
See, somebody just texted in and said Kirby Smart to Georgia is working out well. Georgia, you know, Kirby Smart's a Georgia alum. But did Georgia hire Kirby Smart because he was a Georgia alum or because he was one of the best defensive coordinators in all of college football and won a bunch of national championships with Nick Saban at Alabama? See, you can kind of make the comparison on the NFL scale with DeMeco Ryans. Like, did the Texans hire DeMeco because he was a former alum? Like, the Texans could have hired him last year. He never got interviewed last year when they hired Lovie Smith. He never interviewed for the job. This year, after he led the top defense in the NFL, second year in a row to be a DC to lead a top five defense in the NFL, he got hired as a head coach and was going to get hired somewhere. So I kind of look at it, Kirby Smart, who was hired based more on merit than where he went to school. It was a happy coincidence he went to Georgia. DeMeco Ryans hired based on merit more than where he played a majority of his NFL career, and you hope it works out. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Justin, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Justin?
What's going on, guys? I had a couple takeaways. One, I'm pumped, but I think that one of the biggest takeaways was that I don't think they're trading up. You know, he talked about team building and surrounding the quarterback with a lot of talent. And I think I heard Lance yesterday say he thinks that they'll eventually trade up. You know, based off the presser, I'm not so sure that they would make a move upwards. And then I think my biggest takeaway was kind of a twofold answer is Caserio's job got easier yesterday with the hire, but it also made it substantially more exposed towards criticism. You know, he now can focus on specifically the picks and surrounding this guy with talent because he does have a track record for making talent around him grow. He's talked about the linebacker in San Fran, the safety in San Fran. He obviously was a player coach when he was here. So I do think that he can coach talent. But, you know, you start to see not a lot of progression across the roster. You know, Caserio's exposed right now. He, you know, they need to see a ramp up or he's not going to be around long. So that's my two takeaways. I'm excited about it and looking forward to the new year season, regardless of the win total. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Justin. I agree with the Caserio point of view. I think that it does make it easier but more exposed because who's the next – if there's another fall guy between GM head coach, who's falling first?
Oh, it's Caserio. That's
no
what
doubt
I was saying.
About it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think that, look, as much as we kind of set the table and all the scenarios and what could play out and how the after effects would be, the most devastating thing was if you lost DeMeco because – that was all anybody was talking about. That was the name that everybody knew. That was the one that made everybody feel good. The other ones, they didn't know how to feel because they didn't know enough. There wasn't any connection. And the common fan was just like, oh, who's that guy? Is he going to be just like the other two? Mm-hmm. So you won that. You got the guy that, a lot of people didn't think you could get. But now you won a guy with the contract and the money and everything that goes with it and all of that cachet that comes in the door that's going to be there every day to believe that he's going to have a whole hell of a lot to say about everything and anything that he wants to get involved in. I look at it when the Rockets hired Van Gundy. Van Gundy wasn't just the head coach of the basketball team. Van Gundy had his hand in everything. He was telling marketing how to put up billboards and who could be in commercials and what we were going to do and what we weren't going to do and game operations and the sales staff and everything else across the board he had put his fingerprints on. That's what you should expect with DeMeco Ryans if he wants to. It's going to be to whatever level. Some guys just don't want to bother with any of that, like a Belichick no-nonsense guy. But Nick just essentially handed over the reins of having the total control to the guy that needs it. Because this is the guy that is the most important and influential and now will be the face of this franchise, at least until April, and probably the co-face of this franchise through next season.
As far as the trading up, It might be a bit of a reach if you're reading like what they said in the press conference to try to decide team building. Like he had the quarterback comment. I saw some people thought that he was advocating for Mills by saying that, and saw some other people say that he's taking quarterback at number two. So it's kind of like, what's he really saying there? But I will say, to like kind of defend Justin's what I would consider a slight reach here, is I do get the feel that D'Amico Ryan's rather have more players than less players, because he talked about how he enjoys the development of building young players. And if you enjoy the development of building young players, that to me reads as like, I rather have five dudes to try to build up than three. So like, you're not going to trade up and give away some of those draft picks who are going to be rookies to get fewer of them, even if you think that they're better quality on draft day.
I'll take it a step further. I believe that he thinks that it's easy to develop a top two pick or a guy that's supposed to be good.
I would agree with that.
But I think that the challenge where he gets the most satisfaction is taking a guy that was overlooked that he saw something in, because he sees a trait that a lot of people don't look for. And I look at some of those guys in San Francisco. They got that it gene as it relates to their ticker never stops. They don't take plays off. You know, you see them even after the whistle blows, trying to slap the ball out and looking to get the next hit on and the next lick on somebody. Those are the kind of things as an ex-player that also is just hyper-dialed into finding football players and developing them that I think that satisfies him the most. It's great that he got the money and the title and the accolades and the head coach, and it's easier for him to be able to say, hey, let's go get this in the first round or second round. But if he takes the third, fourth, fifth round pick and those guys develop into starters, I think he takes more satisfaction in that than anything.
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN. We never even talked about Houston and, you know, being D'Amico's top choice of Houston. Let's do that when we return. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I've been telling you about Apollo Men's Health because they get results. They get results. They've gotten them for me. They get them for Pat Creighton. They get them for a lot of people. Creighton's lost almost 50 pounds. I mean, the fact of the matter is, all it takes is you making a concerted effort to realize you got to do something differently. You don't have the energy you once had, or you're not the same kind of athlete you once were, but you still want to work out. You want to take care of yourself, and you realize as you get older, it's more important to do so. You just don't know where to start. Well, that's why you go to Apollo Men's Health. Go to ApolloMH.com. See all the services that they offer. There's bound to be a few that you could be interested in that might be able to help you in your day-to-day process. Then go and make that first appointment and show up with an open mind and ask questions and get the answers and find out that if you're honest with them, they're going to be real with you in setting up a program to get you the results you need and reach the goals that you've set for yourself. It may be getting back in the gym. It may be recovering quicker after you go to the gym. It may be just that energy level on a daily basis. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, if you have problems and you have questions, they have answers and they'll get you results. They're good people doing great things. You mentioned my name, Joel Blank. Free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit. But you got to see them, and then they'll take care of you every step of the way. The good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, it is a Frankie's Friday Fire. You bring the heat, we buy you a dinner. Frankie's Italian Kitchen. It's that simple. You can call 713-780-3776. You can twitch.tv/ESPN975 if you're one of the few that we can still see. You can tweet. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Big C, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. Big C, you thought that the whole Texans press conference yesterday was, what was the word you used, a joke? You thought it was too much? You going to defend that?
Yes, I will. I did think it was too much. They're acting like D'Amico is the second coming of Jesus. And we don't know what kind of coach he's going to be. Now, granted, I think they got it right. I think that they got the coach that they wanted and the coach that they need. But y'all need to act like y'all know what y'all actually doing. Be a professional organization. If you want people to see y'all as a professional organization, act like it. Don't have all this pomp and circumstances for a guy we don't even know can really coach or be a head coach. For all we know, he could be the next Nathaniel Hackett. We know he's not going to get fired in 1 year, but we know what we don't know is what kind of coach he's going to be. The Astros just hired a GM, and they didn't even do that much. and they're an actual winning organization with two World Series. What have the Texans done to be acting like this?
Let me just tell you this, Clarence. You know why they didn't do that? They don't have to. The fact is that real established, bona fide, classy, professional organizations don't have to, and they pick their spots. When I was with the Rockets, we didn't do it for every guy we signed. But I can remember when they wanted to keep Goran Dragic, they had the entire staff line up both sides of the front, the loading dock walkway all the way to the court so that they could make sure that he got the welcome that we still want you and we love you here in Houston. We did big ones when it was for Harden or Dwight Howard or Tracy McGrady or things like that. But we also knew that there were other ones that weren't as consequential and didn't need to have that kind of impact on the community. This was one the Texans had to do like that. They had to do it right. You may not like it, and it may be overblown and people are grading it, but this is one in this reboot I keep talking about, organization-wide, starting with the owner, that they had to do this way just to kind of be the continuation of the plan to try and get people to jump back on board and believe they know what they're doing.
But they did it for Lovey as well.
They didn't do it as much.
Not to this level at all.
Yeah, it wasn't as much.
It wasn't overblown because, it's a player coming home to coach. But still, they did it for Lovey. They thought he was going to be the next best thing for Houston. And look what happened to him.
Yeah. The reaction to that was, Big C, appreciate the call. I think you really did bring the heat. And I don't necessarily disagree with your take to the whole way. There are certain elements to it that I will disagree with. Look, I think this is the way that you do treat a head coach in the NFL. Even if he is a bust, and you have to fire him in 2 years, we think that 2 years is outrageous, but you have to fire him in 2 years, that next candidate that's out there in 2 years, the next, brightest, the next very, very best, he's going to remember how the Houston Texans welcomed in a head coach. Like, that goes a long way just in league circles to be like, oh, okay, they're taking care of a guy. They really want the guy. They're rolling out the red carpet, literally, for the guy. So you should be doing this every time. And that's the part where I disagreed with you, Big C, is that, like, I agree that, like, the reaction to that from, like, talking heads, Twitter, you almost need to pump the brakes a little bit. Highways, cardiac arrest, things like that. Like, you
is
have
that
to have
supposed to do?
A
yes,
healthy.
Indeed.
Yeah, that is what you're supposed to do. Well
I'm
done,
still
George.
Learning.
Thanks
you're
for joining us a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah,
in.
8 days, and we finally get some drops in. That's really good. I lost my train of thought, but you should have done it
the
with
talking
Lovey.
Heads
you
and
should have
sane.
Done it with David Culley. Yep. Like, that stuff should have happened with them as well, because it shows you that you are a serious organization.
But you know what, Jeremy? The reason why too, where it's easy to say the reason why they didn't, because they knew in their heart of hearts it wasn't impactful.
But you can't think that way. Can't think that way if you're making that hire. Right. Because if you're making that hire and then you're thinking that way, you're saying that your hire sucks.
But you're essentially...
I think that's what they said.
Yeah, well, but so you
can't do that, though.
No, but what you were essentially doing is you were tipping your hand on the fact that Nick wanted a bridge guy to just be the guy that takes all the hits and
Agreed.
Does what needs to do,
Agreed.
Collects the salary, and then you just whack him.
Then you need to fake it.
Yeah.
Then you need to fake it.
I think it goes back to Jack. Like, I just...
He's got a big hand.
I don't think Nick made the last two hires.
Last two?
I think it's fair.
Jack wanted McCown, and then after the Brian Flores lawsuit happened, it derailed everything, yep. And they had to pivot, mm-hmm. And Gannon was already out of it. They'd already told him no by the time the lawsuit came out, and they had to panic. And their choice was Lovey Smith and David Culley. And honestly, what fanfare? David Culley never interviewed for an offensive coordinator position that I could find record of. He never interviewed for a head coaching job. He was a wide receivers coach and a one-year quarterback coach for Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. He didn't deserve a big press conference.
I disagree with that.
A failure at Tampa, a failure at Illinois. Like, you're just not going to react like this. D'Amico's great.
All of that is correct. I don't disagree with any of that. But you have to make it a big deal. If you're an NFL organization, you're one of 32, and you're hiring a head coach, it has to be a big deal, even if it's a joke like David Culley, even if it's a joke like Lovey Smith, even if you think it's a bridge. You have to fake it. It has to be a big deal, because at the end of the day, it's your hire, and you need to make it a big deal. So I liked how they handled D'Amico and made it look like a soldier was coming home from war. The issue that, and it's not even an issue, because I think the Texans learned their lesson. Houston, like what you said earlier, Blankers, and this is them turning the corner, hiring DeMeco, turning the corner, getting rid of Easterby, turning the corner, bringing in DeMeco Ryans, turning the corner, having this like great pomp and circumstance, turning the corner. I thought Cal McNair was pretty good yesterday, turning the corner. So like they're learning from their mistakes, but anytime you hire a head coach in the NFL, it has to be a big deal. So I'm totally fine that the Texans blew it up the way that they did. It's the reaction to that that's kind of like,
but I'll tell you this, Jeremy. But the reason why, though, that I think there's two reasons why I think they didn't do it with the first two guys and they did it yesterday, too, on top of what you said, is the fact that, one, from where Caserio comes from, that's just not something they do. The Patriots just let you know because they have to as a formality who they chose.
I mean, we don't know. They haven't hired one in, what, 25 years?
But I'm just saying, you know what? Overall, across the board, they're not big pomp and circumstances as a franchise. They're just cut and dried. But I think also, you know that you can't tell the entire media and fan base that the sky is purple when the sky is blue. So if you're going to come in and make it a monster deal to announce David Culley, and there are still people nationally and a lot of people locally going, who?
But it's more about the media. Like, you're not bringing the fans there. It's more about his family, all the media, and really producing a show. Like, I don't think it's real. I think you're producing a show. I think it's almost sports entertainment. But you have to do it for a high position in your organization.
I think that, though, to the point that I was making, the reason why you couldn't do it because you can't smokescreen it. At the end of the day, when the truth comes out, whether he was just your guy that you were throwing out there, your sacrificial lamb that was you were going to cut at some point, or, you know, one way or the other, he wasn't going to be here long term. He's probably going to fail miserably. And you got more egg on your face if people look back and go, this is the guy that they blew everything. They blew the doors off of the entire announcement and wanted us to believe was the second coming of you know, a great coach, or the this young up-and-coming guy, or this guy that was going to...
Why does that mean that, though? Like, why is like throwing a huge pep rally press conference mean that you think the dude's going to win a Super Bowl in 2 years?
I think because they knew that we knew this wasn't a great coach or a big deal, which is...
That's true.
I think, which is the main crux of why I think they didn't do it, because they're trying to snow you into believing, oh, we got the guy. We got a guy. You might not have heard about him before, but boy, did we get a guy. Because if they weren't even doing that, they weren't going to try and fool you into believing what in their heart of hearts they didn't believe either, and it wasn't in their plans to get the guy right then.
Yeah, they just knew, like, they knew it was a joke. Like, they knew it was the wrong decision at the time for both of them. I won't say a joke.
See, that's hard to like be able to do that. It's hard to hire a coach like on one side of your brain and on the other side of the brain. Like, yeah, this is a joke. Like, we're doing this.
I don't think it was a joke.
Maybe not a joke.
But I think it was the sacrificial lamb. They knew they were trying to get the guy that was going to take them to, you know, these new levels. This was a guy that was going to get them through some pretty hellacious times. And I think that it was a Jack Nick hire, to your point, Joe. I don't think that Nick completely did this. I think Nick kind of laid it out like, look, we got a whole bunch of crap to get through in the next year and a half, 2 years. We need a guy that's just going to be able to tread water, be positive, and try and get us until we're in a better place.
Yeah, instead they hired a guy.
And Easterby went, oh, I got a guy.
Yeah, instead Nick Caserio had to be on headset telling David Culley how to run a football game.
Right.
That's so, like, yeah, they tried to hire a tread water guy. They couldn't even accomplish that.
I mean, I agree that it was supposed to be a bridge. I just think that you're supposed to make it a big deal. Like, yeah. Even if it's not for Culley, it's to show everybody else around either the media, to show everybody else that's going to be a future candidate, that this is how you handle business in the NFL. I think it's more perception than reality. With DeMeco, it's reality. Like, DeMeco, it's like, this is the guy that we got. We'll eventually get to why DeMeco chose Houston. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776, and a Frankie's Friday Fire. But let's do the Nick Caserio game. Let's listen back to some old press conferences. We have a lot of them. Whenever he hired David Culley, whenever he hired Lovie Smith, and let's kind of listen to the tone to which Nick Caserio speaks. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.